flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. 3 o'clock. Right on the money. Quinn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, thanks to Jake Garriani, who doesn't think I like him.
where did that come from?
It'd be the very first time he came on the air and joined us, he said I didn't like him. So I've been fighting against that for all the time I've known him.
Made that up. So he said that on his first time.
He just said he doesn't think I like him. I don't know where he came up with that, but... Sorry you feel that way, Jake. We appreciated having on, and you're outstanding as always. We kick off the 3 o'clock hour with our daily gambit. Do want to get into what is going on up in La Jolla right now, because they've been in a weather delay for a while.
Since 2:05.
Yeah, so they're coming up on an hour. Golfers are pretty much all just standing around waiting for... I mean, the wind has to be really bad, does it not, Scraby, to actually shut down the round? Because golfers do play in windy conditions.
I mean, they play in the UK in Scotland, and
the wind is
crazy.
Is knocking trees down.
So this must be like some sort of
It might be a dangerous situation, something like that.
It could be because trees could come down or something like that. But I would think that dust would be an issue. We saw a bunch of dust flying around, and now they're going to hit some golf balls. So it looks like they're going to come back.
Well, hopefully they'll get going here shortly. Ludwig Åberg.
I found out I've been pronouncing his name wrong.
Uh-oh.
Ludwig Åberg.
Åberg.
Yes.
All Åberg. Right. Thank you, Scrappy.
How did you find this out?
I was listening to the broadcast earlier, and they kept saying Åberg.
Maybe they're wrong.
I don't think they are.
Do you ever think that?
I don't think they are.
At what point did it catch you like, oh, wait a minute. Am I been saying it wrong? How many times did they say Åberg?
The first time you said it.
Oh.
I noticed this stuff because, we have to pronounce things right. And immediately when he said it, I've been saying his name wrong for years. So, Åberg.
It can't be that long. He's only been on the tour for like a week and a half. Last year was the first time in years. We never heard of him before.
Okay, that is a good point, Chris.
Made a run in the PGA.
Chris's point is really good.
It happens. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully they'll get back to work in round two of the Farmers. And we will, in the next segment for sure, be able to break down the Aztecs' survival last night at Air Force. I will say, as an official, a referee, I was embarrassed for those guys.
Yeah,
that's what absolutely it's, embarrassed for those guys like, that worked last night.
You know how I feel about Mountain West Conference officials. I don't dog officials often, but too often these type of games happen.
They happen
in the Mountain
way too
West.
Often in the Mountain West. And if you look, they can say whatever they want, and people that watch the game, can look at it any way you want. And I will blame the Aztecs for some of it.
They were fouling.
You have to play defense without fouling.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you are an officiating crew and you go back in after the game and you realize that you called 55 fouls in a 45-minute game,
that is way more than
one per minute.
Yeah.
There was something you did. Look, talk them out of some fouls. Do something.
But
don't blame, go in during timeouts and the huddles and say, hey, guys, let's stop fouling. Whatever you got to do. But you can't call 55 fouls in 45 minutes.
Yeah, going back, I told you I didn't tune in until after, but I had the game obviously taped.
Yeah.
I mean, typically you can kind of move through the game when it's free-flowing.
Oh, yeah.
But it was stopping
it
so much.
It never free-flowed,
at one point, I had to stop it to see, if there was something happening, more than just fouls.
There were just fouls.
Yeah.
All right. So that said, let's check in on some of the other winners, losers. Oh, by the way, the big story of the day, if you just happen to be tuning in, it's bad news, but we spent the first hour on it. Jerkson Profar signs with the Braves. Okay, I'll let that sink in. To those who didn't know, now let's go to the Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Someone on the chat said there is a fire in Gilman Canyon on the other side of UCSD, so that may be why they're delaying some of the golf. We'll listen to Kelly Danick here at the end of the segment. She'll give you the update on everything. All right, so let's review the bets we did last night. Aztecs were 13.5 point favorites in that game against Air Force. And we know the Aztecs won, but they only won by 1 point. So Chris is the only one who wins this bet when he took Air Force.
I just couldn't give that many points at altitude. I didn't expect the rest of it to take place. I just thought the altitude would be the issue. That's okay. Why I picked Air Force, but I'm just saying.
USF at St. Mary's game is tonight, Chris.
Yes, it is. So we'll have it in the...
They're still going to lose.
Daily Gambit this evening. You know, it's funny. These point spread went up 2 points, though, from yesterday.
Now it's 10.5?
Yeah. It was 8.5 yesterday. Now you're going to have to...
What happened?
I don't know. But
someone got hurt.
It just went up, so...
Miami at Stanford. Stanford 11-point favorites. We all went with the Cardinal, and Stanford destroyed Miami. 88-51.
Miami gave up 117 points in their last game. They're 0-8 in the ACC. It is a bad year, Jesse Agler.
Is a coach really that important?
That's true. Their coach left right in the middle of the season.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not working out for him. Whatever.
Side note, do you think he should have just stuck it out through the rest of the year instead of quitting midseason?
Did he quit midseason, or is he retiring at the end of the season? Was it?
No, he walked out.
He walked out.
He
walked
away. Press conference.
But
couldn't take it.
Yeah, he didn't like the. He said he didn't like the direction of college basketball.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe he didn't like the direction of his team, and he didn't want to go 0-8.
He knew it was going.
Maybe
he
just saw what was coming.
Is he going to spring up at like Kentucky next year or something?
We know that'll piss you off.
Oh, yeah, you know, because you know what? Be a man of your word, Bruce Arians. Celtics at Clippers. Celtics were 12-point favorites. And I chose the Celtics. You guys chose the Clippers. Celtics won by 4, so you guys win that one. 117-113. Who had more points? Anthony Edwards at the Dallas Mavericks or LaMelo Ball at the Memphis Grizzlies? You guys chose Anthony Edwards. I chose LaMelo. LaMelo eked it out 22-21 over Anthony
Edwards.
Those
always seem to come up close,
They do.
Yeah.
Sabalenka and Badosa. Over, this is tennis.
Very good.
Over under 21.5 games in this one. Chris went under, Tony and I went over, and we were wrong, Tony. It was 6-4, 6-2, so that's 18 games we lost.
Sabalenka is an absolute machine, and she's going to be really hard to beat in the finals. But Madison Keys in the second semifinal, did you guys
catch
any wind of it?
I did.
She played an incredible match and beat Swiatek in a thrilling...
Yeah.
Third set tiebreak all the way to the wire.
Yep.
Very exciting.
She got off to a great start, hit a snag, it was going left and it was going south. And then she figured it out, turned it up, able to win. I saw that this morning. I was
good
like,
for her. You guys won that bet because Swiatek was favored by 5.5 games in this one, so it wasn't even
close. Won outright.
And then finally, UNLV women minus 14.5 at Fresno State. All of us went with the UNLV team, and they won handily 73-48.
Yeah, and they're coming here Saturday, having won 52 of their last 53 conference games, UNLV women. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, we got a couple of minutes. Let's run through some of our bets. I was 6-1 last night. You guys were right around 500. Tonight, Celtics at Lakers. Ooh. Celtics favored by 6.5. Tony, I know where you're going.
You already know Lakers are going to cover at least.
At least cover. Scraby. 6.5, Celtics. You're going with the Celtics?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. The pride of the Lake Show against the Celtics at home. They got to win this one. Golden State, kind of your club, Scraby.
Kind of.
1.5 points over my club, the Bulls. Game is in Oakland.
In
Scraby.
Or San Francisco.
Or San Francisco, yeah. Only one and a half. Is Curry out or is somebody out? Golden State's much better than
I think,
Chicago.
What's-his-face? Draymond is in and out of the lineup these days. I will go with Golden State.
I hate to pick against the Bulls. This just seems like a gimme. I'm going to take Golden State, too. Only 1.5 points? At home? Tony?
At home?
You're playing tonight?
Tonight, yeah.
Didn't they just play last night?
I think Golden State played last night, so they're playing a back-to-back.
Yeah, I'll take the Bulls.
Taking the Bulls. Bancaro, I think
change minds. You got Golden State for me. I don't want Golden State. Bulls.
Okay.
Type it in right, Scrabe. Paolo Bancaro returning to action for Orlando. Will he score more points against Portland tonight or Trae Young versus Toronto? I'm going to say Trae Young because Bancaro's still working his way back. Tony? Trae Young. There we go. Tony Gwynn Jr. Trae Young or Paolo Bancaro?
Give me Paolo.
Paolo.
Hooper.
He is a hooper. Number one overall pick, and he's proved that he was worthy of it. Scraby?
I'll never forget when that reporter thought he was Patrick Mahomes and interviewed him. I will never forget. And Paolo went with it. I'm going to go Paolo. I don't know why I feel
Paolo
that way.
Paolo for that. LeBron, 38.5 points, rebounds, assists.
38.5.
Tony's, you get over that? You're first.
Ooh, 30.
Didn't he just, isn't he like one of the, there's only two players in NBA history to have a triple-double over the age of 40? It's him and like Karl Malone, maybe?
You got me. It's the Celtics, yes.
He's got to do it. Scraby, over or under, 38.5 points, assists.
He just came off a great rebound game, so I'm going to go over.
Over. I hope he proves me wrong, but 2010, he'd need 8 rebounds. That's too many. I'll say under. St. Mary's, 10.5 over USF. It was 8.5 yesterday.
Oh, we're changing it up.
Yeah, we're doing what the spread is now.
Okay.
10.5. You get USF, you get more points.
I will take USF now.
All right, I'll still take St. Mary's. They know something. Tony?
St. Mary's.
Djokovic, semifinals, Australian. 2.5 games favored over the number 2 seed, Zverev. Until somebody beats him, I still say Djokovic, even though he's 7 seed. Tony.
What's the other guy's name?
Alexander Zverev.
Zverev, that's who I want.
Starts with a Z. Z-V. Starts with a Z and a V. Too many words that start with those two letters. Yeah. Scraby, who you want?
I'll take...
Hurry up.
Zverev.
Zverev. Okay, we're out checking traffic. We're 4 for 4 making our break on time.
Yeah!
Wow! Look at this, guys.
Conversations are done. Just time to execute. San Diego State to inbound. Nobody defending the ball. Got to catch it on the run. The Gorville inbounds. McKinney, 2 seconds. All the way to the basket. Layup! Around and down! Count it!
No way!
At the horn! As San Diego State survives!
Wayne McKinney the third.
Pretty good description of how it felt when it was over. That they survived.
You know what I thought of right there? Tyus Edney.
Everybody did. I actually think the guys on the broadcast brought him up.
I didn't hear them say that.
Yeah, Tyus Edney at UCLA way back when.
Against Missouri.
And they ended up winning the national championship because of that play that Tyus Edney made early in the tournament. But it was a great play designed by Dutcher. And or his staff, whoever, you know, you set the screen at midcourt so he can free up from the guy guarding him. But Air Force did an awful job.
Awful.
All they had to do is get one guy even remotely in McKinney's way.
I mean, even just making the inbound pass more
and they
difficult.
Didn't guard they the didn't inbound guard it. Pass. It just let him throw it in easily. So thank you, Air Force, for that. The Aztecs, you know, the biggest issue to me, and we already panned the officiating, so I'm not going to go there again. 55 fouls were called in the game.
Was Eric Curry on the
he was not,
on the whistle
no.
last night? Is that what they call it when you're reffing on the whistle?
Whistle watch.
You know how they say on the call for announcers?
You can be on the call as a ref, too.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you can be on the call. Now, Vern Harris is one of the officials last night. He's a Final Four referee. One of the others was Randy McCall, who has been at it for decades. And I believe the Dutch are fine to be one of the more tolerable referees.
Bad, but you got to tolerate them.
Right. I don't know who the third guy was, but it was a bad night for them. However, that said, Aztecs, you cannot be a good defensive team if you can't guard without fouling. And you have to just learn how to do this.
And guess what? If your two best guards foul out because they aren't, they're doing too much handsy, not enough.
Too much hands. Yeah, they weren't sliding the feet, et cetera, Tony.
That put the Aztecs behind the ball. I mean, they shot 22% from 3-point land in that ball game. So you add that with the fouls, you're just slowing the game up for a team that is really overmatched.
That can't keep up with you.
You allowed that game to be ugly by fouling so much.
Yeah. And Air Force, I mean, shot, you know, lights out for them. And Brian Dutcher is correct after the game. He said Air Force beat somebody every year. I don't know if you remember last year. They went to the Pit and beat New Mexico. And it was like their only win of the year. So Air Force kind of does this from time to time. And the Aztecs got out of there with a win. So that part was good. The other thing I wanted to point out is the attention to detail that I guarantee you will be pointed out to this team in the film sessions following the game. And my example of it, on the final play of overtime for Air Force. Now, you tuned in right at this moment, Tony. The Aztecs led by two. Air Force got the ball. They missed the shot. But the kid came in from the weak side and grabbed the rebound, and he got fouled.
Yeah.
That set up the free throw and the tip in.
Yep.
That looked like Air Force was going to win. Well, Taj DeGorville, who had a great game as a freshman, did not even remotely come close to boxing this kid out.
Nope.
And these are the little things that you've got to do. And those are the things that they normally do. But you still got freshmen. You still got a young team.
It's a little different than
it's been in the past.
We got to kind of pull ourselves back because I think what happened was this year got going way faster than I think we expected it to.
You're right. I mean, they beat Houston, for heaven's sake.
Right. And so we've seen what they can look like at their best, but they are still young team that's out there. And that doesn't, just because the start is good doesn't mean you don't eventually go through some of those normal young mistakes that we've seen. It's hit lack of attention to detail. And you've seen that rear its head in the losses, and it reared its head last night. Aztecs were just fortunate enough to end up with the ball last and have the Air Force team just kind of part the Red Sea for them.
They parted the Red Sea. Fly through the great blue yonder, I think, is the Air Force song, something like that. And give McKinney credit. He had the ball at the end of the loss to Utah State. I don't know if you recall. Utah State hit the three to take the lead. McKinney got the ball and dribbled up the court, yet he settled for like a fall-away 25-foot jumper. And he said after the game that he was determined not to do that again. He learned from it and got it to the rim and finished it. So good for Wayne McKinney III, local kid, I believe, from Coronado High School, who got the win for the Aztecs last night. And look, Ziegler wrote that saved their season. Hmm. The loss would have been so devastating in the metrics that they could have never probably made it as an at-large team. Unless they had like won every game the rest of the way.
But what about the game against Houston? Everybody told me that was their ticket to the
March
Madness.
Yes, but you can wipe that out with a loss
to Air Force. Right.
You can wipe that out.
They have two losses that they probably shouldn't have on their resume.
Who's the other one?
I don't know. I mean, UNLV, they're saying shouldn't be on their resume, but UNLV beat Utah State also. They might be a little better than we think.
UNLV has a chance to keep playing good and make that loss not as bad.
Correct.
But if they had lost to Air Force, I don't know that you can recover in terms of...
It's pretty tough to lose to a team like that in the conference that the Aztecs are in.
Right.
They can't afford. So that might have saved it from being a win the conference tournament or else type of season.
How's my guy doing, Magoon?
Magoon Gwath is a work in progress, which is exactly what Mark Ziegler told us he would be, and the coaches told us he would be.
Yep.
He has moments, number one. Number two, do not try a layup in his neighborhood. He will send it back.
He's going to get it.
He will send it back.
No.
He's a really good block shot guy.
The foul thing, I think, actually started the game before against UNLV.
Okay.
They had some of those same silly fouls that you were hoping were just kind of a one-off for that game, but certainly continued in that Air Force game. I mean, your best players gotta stay out of foul trouble, because what it also does is it messes up the rhythm of the rest of the team. If you don't have your two best guards in there, you don't have your big guy in there that are normally there for the offensive flow, it's tough to keep any rhythm, especially when the game is stopping that much, as we talked about.
Yeah, Miles Bird was way off his game. Nick Boyd, neither of them were on their game last night. Now, they go to Nevada Saturday. Nevada's not having a great start to the season, but, you know, it's Alford, and it's still a little altitude, so it's not easy. They're coming home. They came home, actually, after the game. They'll go back to Nevada. Then they get San Jose State and Wyoming at home. At Colorado State, and then San Jose State again. They could put together a little run, hopefully, but you can't, with this young team, you can't look at it like, we can look at it like that. They can't. They have to play game by game. And the one last thing I wanted to say, for those who look at that game last night and say, wow, this is not going to be our season, even though we won that game, I draw your attention to last year's game at San Jose State, right at the beginning of the season. Do you remember Jay Powell made that incredible block shot?
Yeah.
Saved the game. The Aztecs won by three because they hit a couple of free throws. And San Jose State was terrible last year. And the Aztecs barely beat them, went on to the Sweet 16. So, never can tell. Dutcher's still the guy. Still gets it done.
And if they win the Mountain West tournament, they
then you're in no matter what. Right.
It doesn't matter, right.
But when they said save the season, I think they were referring to the fact that that would have then been their only hope.
Gotcha.
And this way, they still have at-large possibilities. They did fall in the
Palm.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Is it Ken Palm?
The metric.
Palm,
yeah. They call it the metric. They went from, I think, 35 to 47. I mean, they fell because of the game was so close last night, even though they won. So,
no bueno.
I hate those metrics.
No, I mean, that's...
Unfortunately, that's what they look
at.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Scrape, because, I mean, there's so many factors that go into the games. And as the game was ending, I was thinking, you know, Duke goes on the road in the ACC, plays a lesser team, but they don't have to deal with the altitude. They don't have to deal with the bus rides and the trip up the mountain and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
These games, we've said it before, Mountain West travel is unlike any other conference, and I think it's fair to say that.
That makes a big difference to me.
I think it does.
Is that the first? No, they've played in altitude already this year, right?
They played New Mexico, but that's a little lower altitude than Air Force is over 6,000 feet.
Yeah,
it's way up there.
Wow.
I was just making a point that, you know, it takes some time to get used to that. It certainly might have been a factor, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
All right, let's slide to break. When we come back, got a potpourri of different sports news.
30-mile zone. There's something happening with the medals that were won at the Olympics in France that I think is quite crazy.
Oh, I got to hear this.
Yes.
Can't wait. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
5 for 5, Scrib. All right, welcome back. 3:33 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. We'll get back to it here in a second, just as they are getting back to it, apparently, at the Farmers after a hour-and-a-half weather delay. That does not mean, though, that there is some fire danger, from what we understand, in the La Jolla area. Is it Dorothy?
In several different parts of the county.
So let's
get Dorothy, yes.
Yeah, Dorothy, thanks for give us a little update just for the folks out there to be careful.
Dorothy Tran reporting for Odyssey San Diego. The Gilman Fire just erupted over in the La Jolla area, and evacuations have been ordered for the areas bordered by La Jolla Village Drive to the north, La Jolla Parkway to the south, Gilman Drive to the east, and Torrey Pines Road to the west. If you're in the areas between La Jolla Shores Drive and Torrey Pines Road, evacuation warnings have been issued. Those requiring extra time or who have pets and livestock should leave now. A couple of road closures to be aware of. La Jolla Village Drive has been shut down at the Interstate 5 connector, and traffic is also being blocked along Gilman Drive. To the south, there is a fire over on Otay Mountain. This is being called the Border 2 Fire. As of right now, it does not pose a threat to residents. Stay tuned for updates as this story develops.
Dorothy, thank you for that. And I think we've already mentioned, and we'll continue to mention, to be careful out there. Dry and wind, not a good combination when it comes to fire season. All right, so how is that affecting traffic? Scraby, before we get to...
Give Kelly, actually, I just looked. Give her...
Unfortunately, she's got to put a few more things in there,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
The update on the Torrey Pines scoreboard as they get back underway. Scraby's guy, Ludvig Åberg.
Good job.
Is 7-under.
Not Åberg.
Not Åberg. As we've thought for the last dozen or so years.
Scraby had us believing Åberg. Wait, no. Åberg is what you were calling him. Yeah,
he's got the lead at 7-under.
I felt smart, too.
A bunch of Americans are chasing him. Hayden Springer, 6-under. Lanto Griffin, 5-under.
Isn't that a great name?
What, Lanto?
Lanto Griffin.
I'm glad you like it.
It makes me think of like Star Wars.
All right. Luke, how about this one? Luke Clayton.
Oh, Luke.
Or Clanton.
Oh, he's an amateur.
He's an amateur. He's 5-under. Joel Damon. Everybody who's ever watched that PGA show on Netflix knows Joel Damon.
Full swing.
Full swing. He's the guy that finishes like in 20th place every tournament.
And he's happy.
And he never wins.
He's like, I'm not good enough to win, so right. I'll just make some money.
He makes
20th.
A ton of money by finishing 20th.
This is like the real Happy Gilmore right there.
He's only three shots back. Our guy, Charlie Hoffman, still in the hunt, Charlie. -1 for the tournament. He's on the 13th hole of the South Course today. A tough go
in those
conditions.
I can't even imagine how hard the South Course is with this wind, because the average score on that course I saw before the delay was 75, which is crazy.
That's for professionals.
Yes.
All right, we got traffic, and then we got your 30-mile zone. So let's find out what's happening there, Scrabe.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30-Mile Zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
Why do you always give me that look when that little disclaimer happens, Tony?
I just find it funny.
Okay. You're not like looking at me like...
No, I don't think you're doing nothing nefarious.
Okay, great. Let's get started with the Paris Olympic medals. Now, I think they look more established, and they look like they are a lot older.
You're talking about the actual look of the medal itself.
Here, guys, look at what the medals look like now, Tony.
Wait,
see?
Which one, on the right or left?
It's the same one. It's the front and the back.
We saw this a little bit after the actual Olympics. There were some people shortly thereafter.
So people don't like them?
They're saying more than 100 athletes have complained to the International Olympic Committee.
That's how I read it.
They have visible signs of crumbling, staining, and surface wear. The Tokyo ones 3 years earlier were a lot better, and a lot of these athletes are trying to get new medals. According to French investigative outlet La Leche, a defective varnish seems to be the reason for the degraded appearance of the medals. The varnishes were switched, as the old one reportedly contained chromium trioxide.
Chromium trioxide
oxidizer that happens to also be a carcinogen, so
get rid of it. I will say this: I have been lucky enough to see a medal.
Ooh!
My uncle Chris, who was on the '84 baseball team, got a silver medal.
I was at the game. He earned the silver.
That
he didn't actually earn the silver. He lost the gold. Sorry, Chris.
right. His medal looked about as good a shape this many years later
as this
one
does.
Some of those do.
Really? Yeah. Well, I mean, it is over 30 years at this point.
But that's my point.
No, his medal's 40 years old.
His medal is 40 years old.
Yeah.
This medal is a few months old.
So you're saying Paris cheapskated these guys?
Well, they changed the varnish.
Because of the chromium's...
Chromium trioxide.
Chromium trioxide.
I feel like I'm in Aaron Brockovich right now.
I feel you.
But the medals were designed by Chamay, part of some sort of metal making or jewelry making group. All have a piece of iron taken from the Eiffel Tower. I think that's kind of cool. I didn't know that.
That's cool. But
clearly doesn't help the medal.
But apparently the medal is so bad, the piece of Eiffel Tower has fallen out.
Okay, nobody here's the last thing. Here's the statement.
Those medals look like what would turn your neck green if you put it on.
Oh, totally. Totally.
That's what it looks like.
Yes, you're going to grow a third eye if you put that medal anywhere near you. La Monnaie de Paris has taken the issue of damaged medals very seriously since the first exchange request in August and has mobilized its internal teams. They're going to replace the damaged medals at the athletes' request during the first quarter of 2025.
Right now?
Yes, right now.
Right now.
So
you got the first quarter. So January, February, March, you got to get it in.
So big joke is, did the medals just sit in the Seine River because it had all that sewage in it? They just sat the medals in the river the entire time?
The Seine River, very good, Scrib.
Thank you,
after Seine and Seine. You got it.
Yes, and it was my third try.
I say if you win a medal, be happy with it and go home.
I say
that's fair.
Except for, I mean, if they didn't varnish
it
correctly.
Might be your one time to go. You might want to like be able to have
it. If you don't like it, then try to finish fourth.
Try to
finish. Is there an easy way around this?
Thurman Thomas. Now, one thing that comes to mind about Thurman Thomas that I will never forget. Thurman Thomas was one of the only running backs I've ever seen wear the lineman face mask with, like, the bar in between the eyes.
And so you couldn't do the Three Stooges eye poke.
What is it? You couldn't do that. Thurman Thomas was a fantastic running back. I loved watching Thurman Thomas play back when I was a kid.
It's funny that that's what you remember.
I mean, I remember him being great.
But yeah, he was great, but there's another thing that he's known for even more than those things.
I think I know this, but I can't remember.
He lost his helmet before the start of the Super Bowl.
That's
true. And when they ran out to start the game, he couldn't play. Jim Kelly turned around to hand off to Kenneth Davis and was like, where is Thurman Thomas?
You know what I do remember was the broadcasters talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, Thurman Thomas not in the game.
Man, where is he? What's the problem? He's the best player in football.
I mean, these
lost
days...
Lost his helmet right
days,
before the start of the game.
You're going to the 53rd guy on the roster. You're saying, give me your helmet.
Something. Right. Get him in there.
They probably have two helmets at this point.
For someone like Thurman Thomas, sure. Absolutely. Because we saw Jameis Winston's helmet like break during a game, so they need that. All right, here is what Thurman Thomas said, and he was asked if he would jump through some tables if the Bills won the Super Bowl.
Would I be willing to jump through a table? I might jump through three or four. That has been kind of the question that I've been doing these interviews for the past couple of weeks, and they've always said, you know, if the Bills win the Super Bowl, you know, will you jump through a table? And I've asked all my former teammates, Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, Andre Reed, and they're like, yeah, we would jump through a table. So
I would pay to see those four guys jump through a table.
I would pay for Jim Kelly not to.
Yeah, I don't want to see Jim
scare.
Do it.
Yeah.
Hey, if Jim feels good enough to do it, let Jim do it.
You know, when I think of Buffalo, what was their head coach's name?
Mark Levy, yeah.
I heard my mom say it one time, and I was worried as a kid from that point on. When they used to dump him with Gatorade.
He looked like he was 97 years old at the time,
like,
didn't he?
Minus three weather.
Yeah.
I used to think he was going to go into shock. Like, I honestly thought he would have a heart attack on the field.
He did.
I say that to say I don't want to see any of these older men suplexing through tables that are laid out. I think this could end bad. And I hope he was just speaking
ended bad. You know, Marv Levy is still alive age of 99.
Good for him.
And clearly, he's got a good set. I mean, he's getting dosed in that kind of weather.
Maybe we should all get doused with water in that kind of weather.
I think that's the answer.
No, I don't want to see none of these guys. Maybe Andre, I see him around.
He's
still pretty young. He's still pretty young.
You know, it's so hard. I mean, I met Andre Reed once, it was hard not to say, how do you feel about losing four Super Bowls? I mean, unfortunately, that's what they're all. Everyone on that Bills. Andre Reed was a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
But he and Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly, they're all associated with losing four Super Bowls.
I tell you what.
So they all understand that if Buffalo wins, you know, it would be a big deal to these guys.
I've heard Andre ask that question and answer it. He handles it as well as you could.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, he's probably pretty well versed.
He's probably got it. Yeah. He's been asked enough.
All right. I would love to see those guys do that, but. Not Jim Kelly. You guys are right. Jimmy Butler. Things are getting crazy with Jimmy Butler. And they suspended him for two games for, I guess, missing a flight. Well, last night, he didn't really care because he was at some comedian party, yucking it up with everyone, having a good old time. And people are saying just get the deal done, get him out of there, get him on a team he wants to be on. But I say, do your job.
Listen, I'm all for player empowerment, but I like what the Heat are doing here. I think it's very rare, especially in the NBA, where you get head coach and whoever the top of the NBA operations is on the same page. And it's not just those two. It's really everybody on the roster minus Jimmy Butler. If you go to Miami Heat, you know a couple things. You're going to condition probably more than you ever have in your entire NBA career, and that you are going to have to get in line with everybody else, no matter who you are. I think that doesn't mean that superstar players aren't given a little more leeway. Apparently, Jimmy Butler has flown privately more than a few times, and it's been okay. But that was when you were showing up to work and doing things, doing the rest of the things that you were being asked.
Yeah.
And so I think as much as this is a headache for, I'm sure, the team, I think Spoelstra's words today, if you heard him, were spot on. He told his team basically, get over it and get used to it. Because this is, as long as Jimmy's here, as long as the Heat don't get the type of deal they're looking for, they're not going to move him. And so that means that you may have a disgruntled player, and we might have to. I have no doubt that Pat Riley will continue to suspend him if he continues to keep missing flights or missing practice or disrupt things. He doesn't care. He'll keep going.
The thing is, Scrape, I mean, of all people, I'm assuming you absolutely love this as well.
Love what the Heat are doing? Yes.
Yes, because how many times have you referenced the fact that you're tired of the players holding the squads hostage, especially in the NBA where you've got these really big superstars? This is one case where the superstar is not holding the team hostage in any way, shape, or form.
And this is something I tell you all the time, Scrape. They don't have to do what the player is asking.
Yeah.
Yes, your life might be difficult, but it's like, you know, it's like raising kids. You know, you could take the easy way out and let them go ahead and do whatever they were doing when they weren't supposed to be doing it. But you could also hold the line, have to deal with a little heartache right now, and set them straight for moving forward. This is how it should be.
The other part of it is we talk often, Tony does especially, and I listen to him, but on this, when a team signs a contract and the player doesn't keep his, you know, can't
or they live up to that signing.
Live up to that signing, they still got to pay him the money.
Yeah.
Well, the player also signs the contract.
Yeah.
So he signed a deal to be with the Miami Heat through whenever he signed it.
And that's what Pat Riley
said.
And
the Miami Heat are saying, well, then you're still with us.
Right.
You signed that just the same way we signed. We got to pay you.
Right.
You're signed. You got to play or be here at least. Be part of the team.
You got a big option at the end of this year that you could more than welcome to decline if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, you're here. And listen, if we get a deal that we like and it's beneficial to us, we'll do it. Otherwise, hang with him, dog.
I do.
And I love Jimmy Butler. I just want to make that clear.
Oh, he's
I'm a
one
big
of my
fan of Jimmy Butler. But I don't think he's doing himself any favors right now.
He's definitely not doing
himself
any favors.
Bulls picked him with the last pick of the first round a long time ago, and I thought, who's that? And then I really thought, what a great pick. And I've missed him since they traded him away 10 years ago, and he proves why I miss him all the time, because he's always right there in the middle of things.
Do you guys want to hear something embarrassing about Jimmy Butler and me?
More than his hair?
Yeah. No, his hair's not embarrassing.
No, his hairstyles.
You know, he did have the emo
hairstyles. The emo one? I do like that. No, when I went to go broadcast from Radio Row for the Super Bowl in Minnesota.
It was freezing. I remember you telling
it was so cold, but there was a guy walking around, and from behind, he looked like Jimmy Butler. And I kept going to the guys. I was like, dude, that's Jimmy Butler right there. And one of the guys goes, I don't think that's Jimmy Butler. I'm like, I swear that guy is Jimmy Butler. He plays for the T-Wolves. He's here doing interviews. Turns around, it was Emmanuel Acho.
Wasn't Jimmy Butler even close to Jimmy Butler?
I should have waited to look at his face before I claimed that Jimmy Butler was doing interviews in that whole thing. But
that's fine.
Anyway, last night we got a good old fashioned hockey fight. So go to your screen, Chris, right now.
We can see this. This was a good one.
I didn't see it.
The Blue Jackets against the Maple Leafs, and this was early. Game's 18:28 18:28 left in the first
period. A minute
period.
And a half into the game. 90
that's
seconds.
A better way of saying it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Here is some of what was happening on TV.
I see the sleeves being pulled up.
This is the first ever matchup between a couple of the superstars.
They're just kind of sizing each other up.
Ryan Reeves
and Mathieu Olivier.
Now some action.
Olivier's 10th front of the year. It's the first for Reeves.
And now they're really going.
Lee Olivier has Reeves off balance, but Brad Reeves.
And now they're doing the rock and sock 'em thing.
They really were.
Wow. What this is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, no, it's over. I mean, they basically break it up after this because they're tired.
How about how good these guys? You know that when I was with the Gulls, maybe you would figure this out watching these guys, but the fighters on the Gulls used to practice fighting. And I don't mean by actually landing punches, but
strategy.
Strategy and grabbing hold and how to keep your balance, how to throw punches and keep your balance on skates. If you get knocked down, how to get right back up on your skates. They work on it a lot. And you can tell these two guys 100%. Have done it millions of times before.
That was what the first thing that stood out to me when I saw this last night was, oh, these two are very skilled in getting their shots off and not putting themselves in a position to get hit.
Yeah.
It was like, get a shot off, reposition the hands, we'll fight a little
bit. They work at it.
Yeah, no, that was those were like some heavyweights too, right there.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was a big one.
And the best part was they both knew when it was over and like just skated off and went.
Yeah,
to the
referees were like, okay,
they didn't even have to break it up.
They were like, I'm tired.
Yeah, that is tiring because they went to the ground. And,
oh, they were going the haymakers.
The best part is when they just each are punching each other at the same time in the face. It just keeps going. All right, we have to fit this in for the last story of this segment, but Ichiro. Whoa, that was the wrong one. Ichiro is a Hall of Famer now.
Yes,
and
he is.
We all know that there's one voter out there who apparently didn't think he was a Hall of Famer.
Well, it's not even apparent. I mean, somebody didn't think he was, yeah.
And people are trying to get this person to admit who they are. They're never going to. Here's what Ichiro wants.
They are trying to shame him.
Yes,
right
they
now.
Are. Everyone
Buster
is.
Only tried to shame him on our show
Alton
yesterday.
Gonzalez tried to shame the person
everybody
by saying, come on
out. Shaming him.
Here is what Ichiro wants to do when he finds out who this voter is.
I was able to receive many votes from the writers and grateful for them. But there's one writer that
his translator.
I wasn't able to get a vote from. I would like to invite him over to to my house and we'll have a drink together and we'll have a good chat. Very, very grateful.
Yeah, so he said he would invite that writer over.
I'm not
going to
lie. When you first started talking, I was like, I've never heard Ichiro's voice before.
No, that was his translator.
I would like to meet Ichiro. Maybe I'll just admit that I was the vote, even though I wasn't.
And you can
go over and have a...
Not only can you meet, you can have a drink.
I can have a nice sit down and relax with Ichiro, sure.
It would be awkward when I go, sorry, Ichiro, don't drink.
when I got in there, Diet Coke, please.
Yes. Can I have some water?
Well, that's me.
Hey, I like how he's handling this because I would probably be pretty angry that one human being out there ruined my anonymous status.
He has whatever right to be, but
what's the word I'm looking for? Not anonymous.
Unanimous.
Thank you.
Did you say anonymous?
Yes, he did.
I wish I'd have caught that. As much as you correct me when I butcher stuff, I wish I'd have been on that.
Anonymous is not unanimous.
No, it's not. Is it me?
Yes.
No, it's not.
No.
It's me, and we're 6-for-6.
And this one doesn't count, though.
Oh, yes,
they all count.
Does. They count.
We're going to Chris versus the Fans next, 833-288-0973. Play some trivia. You might end up going to Vegas next.